time you're riding down the road in your car, sing this to the Lord. You'll get where you're going much faster. Come. Let us.
Come, let us adore Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Worship and adore Him.
Worship and adore Him.
Come on, say it again.
Let us come, let us adore Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
In Your presence, Lord, worship.
Worship and adore Him.
Tell me, say. To praise Him even in the midst of a trial. Come. Let us.
Come, let us adore Him.
No matter, no matter, no matter. I mean, no matter what's going on in your life, you got to know how to give Him a sacrifice of praise. Now, I know you know the song by now. Come.
Come.
Let us adore Him.
Kneel down before him.
He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, say Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
I like that. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior.
Welcome to the next chapter. This is Sheila Cully standing again for the month of January for Mary Hollis. I'm so glad that you were able to join in tonight. We are talking this month about finance, and we welcome all our widows that we have calling in. We welcome you because we love you, and we want to let you know that we're here for you. The next chapter, Widows Ministry, is a ministry that helps widows get through those first, especially 3 years of being a widow. After the loss of their husband, we want to be there for you to help you just get through the days, the nights, the holidays, to help you deal with the varying issues that you may have to deal with. After those 3 years, we're still there for you, and we like, as you grow stronger, that you would share your knowledge, your wisdom, those special moments of that you were struggling through when the initial loss of your husband. Share those experiences with new widows to let them know that they will be okay. Tonight we have, as our subject for tonight, taxes. Last week we talked about insurances, and the week before that we talked about Bible verses that dealt with money. Tonight and probably next week, we're going to spend a little time talking about taxes. It is tax season, and some of you who experienced your husband's loss in this past year may not quite know how to handle some things. And if it's been a few years ago, you may be still dealing with some issues. So we're going to go over some things that's specific to widows tonight, as well as some things that you may still be trying to deal with. We want to encourage you to not become overwhelmed with the paperwork. Typically, you know what to give the person that's preparing your taxes because things come in the mail in an envelope that says important tax documents enclosed. So if you've never had the opportunity to gather all that information together, because that's what you always do, we want to let you know it's not so difficult. The person that will be helping you prepare your taxes this year should be able to give you very good guidance in terms of what it is that you need. First thing we want to talk about is the very top of your tax return. It normally will have the name on it if you're filing a Form 1040, which is the individual tax return that would have carried your husband's name as well as your name. Many couples have the husband's first on that tax return, but it doesn't matter whether it was you or the husband. But in any case, after your husband has been deceased, then your name will be on the very top, which is called the primary taxpayer. And if your husband passed away in 2011, his name can still remain on a tax return for when you file this year. You will still file jointly. So even if your husband died in January last year, you can still be considered married filing jointly for tax purposes for the year 2011. So just remember that you don't have to worry about filing a separate tax return. You can file jointly, and you can take whatever W-2s or 1099s or any kind of income or expense statements that he had. It will still come in the mail no matter what point during the year that he passed away. So all of that information you can give the person that's going to be preparing your tax return. So you will have at the very top of the tax return if it's the first year that he passed, and you'll be filing jointly. It will be his name. And then your name, just the way you have been normally have done it. And if your husband passed away in 2010 and you still have some dependent children there, then you're allowed to use the filing status of qualifying widower with a dependent child. And that's a very good filing status to have because it gives you some of the similar benefits that it did if you were filing jointly. So if your husband passed away in 2010 and you have not remarried, this doesn't apply if you're remarried. If you still have not been married, then you can file qualifying widow for 2011 this year and also for 2012, which is next year, because you get to do that for 2 years after the death of your spouse. So if you had lost your husband in 2009, then in 2009, you would have completed a tax return and you would have filed jointly. And then you would have had 2 years after that, which would have been 2010 and 2011. So the 2011 tax return will be the last year you can file qualifying widow. But you have to remember, you have to have a dependent child. Now, if there is no dependent child involved, then you would go from married filing jointly to filing single. Now, the single filing status is not one that most people enjoy as many benefits from. So you would have to be aware that you would be filing jointly that year, and then all the years after, you would be filing single. Now, let's go back to the qualifying widow. Remember, the year, 2 years after your husband passes away, you can complete a tax return, and you would have a filing status of qualifying widow. After that second year, if there is still a dependent child there, then you can use the tax filing status of head of household. I highly suggest that you contact the person that's doing your tax return in advance and make sure that you actually qualify for that particular filing status, because it has a lot of rules that goes along with it. So if you have no dependent children and your spouse has been deceased for more than the one tax year, you will be filing a single tax return. And you will probably need to talk with someone, you know, actually sooner than later, to see if there was any adjustments that needed to be made. Or if you didn't do that already, then you want to have your tax return prepared as early as possible in this tax season, so that if you have a balance due or you owe the IRS or your state some money, you will have ample time to be able to gather those funds together so you can pay that balance that is due. So those are your filing statuses. Now, you know, sometimes it can be a little confusing, but we want you to know that married, filing jointly, you can still do the same year your spouse died, no matter what point in time during the year he died. Following that, you will file qualifying widow for the 2 years after that, as long as you have dependent children, and then you can go to head of household after that. Once there are no dependent children around, then you would then, after that point, have to file a single tax return. So let's talk about some other things that will affect your tax return as a widow. Sometimes on your tax return, some of the funds that may have been received in the passing of your husband, such as life insurance, if there was a life insurance policy, none of that income is taxable. One of the wonderful things about having a life insurance policy is that you're able to receive a check and it's not taxable. That income is not taxable. So whatever the amount of that insurance policy was, whether it was a small $5,000 policy, $10,000, or if it was a $500,000 policy, none of those funds are taxable. However, I want to encourage you that if there is any insurance proceeds, that most of that money would be taken and you would consult with someone about investing it. Many times as a recipient or beneficiary of an insurance policy, we find that you're not quite sure what to do with that lump sum of money if it's provided in a lump sum. So we want to always encourage you or anybody you know to actually even plan ahead of receiving the insurance check, to make sure that you are using that money wisely. Now, any portions of that refund that is considered interest received, that part would be taxable, not the dividends. So we talked about this maybe a little bit last week when we talked about insurance, but the tax portion that's taxable would be any interest received. Any dividends received is not taxable, because the dividends is really considered an overpayment of your premium. The other thing on your tax return that you also want to be aware of is if your spouse worked any during the past year, that income received still has to be reported. Another reason why you really want to consult with a tax professional is because depending upon the amount of that money and any other situations that may be incurred, you really want to make sure that you want to file a joint return versus wanting to file a separate return. If there are any taxes that's owed, let's say from your husband's business or any other tax-related issues he may have, the state is responsible for paying that, not you. So the state is, so if he has some indebtedness and you were not aware of it, then you can file what is called an injured spouse claim. And what that does is it alerts the IRS that the amount that's owed is an amount that you didn't really have any knowledge of, or the income you didn't have knowledge of. And so what you're asking them to do is waive your right to have to pay that. So it's actually a request, though, and once all the information is completed, if they submit a ruling that allows you to use that claim, then you wouldn't have to pay any federal tax on that particular income there. We want you to be mindful that when you're preparing your taxes, the earlier you prepare it, the better. just because you have your taxes prepared does not mean that the money due has to be paid until April the 17th. Normally, the filing tax season ends on April the 15th. This year, it's April the 17th. April the 16th falls on a Monday, and Washington, D.C. has a holiday on that Monday, only in Washington, D.C. So that day is an extended to the 17th. So that's the last day to file, which is that's the deadline for which any taxes would be due. So if you're not sure exactly what's going to happen, go ahead and have your return done as soon as possible. Once you know what your bottom lines are, if you have a refund, then you can just go ahead and submit it and, you know, wait on the refund. However, if you owe the money, you can submit the return, but you do not have to send the money in until April the 17th. Any time before that, it will be considered timely paid, unless there are some underpayment taxes that would have been required to be paid during last year, and that would be the case in the event that there would be any businesses or corporate income that's received. Estate taxes would be an issue that we probably won't be able to cover into any details this evening. If you have any concerns that there is an estate tax issue, you can certainly contact me at a later time or contact the person that's doing your taxes. Most of the time, estate taxes is not a consideration that you would have to worry about unless the estate is in excess of $1 million or more. So if you think that that may be a case for you, then you certainly want to get some tax assistance on that. And the amount that would be included in that number would be including things like property, incomes from jobs, balances in 401k, TO, SEPs, Roth IRAs, anywhere that there is money, whether it's in the form of liquid money, cash sitting in bank accounts or investments or real estate property. When you add up all of that amount, then you need to determine whether or not that there is any estate tax involved. The other thing we want to talk about this evening, too, would be any rollover money that's received. If there's any money that's rolled over from a retirement plan as a result of the death, then the amount of that rollover may or may not be taxable depending upon whether it would have been taxable if your spouse was living. So if the spouse was living and it was taxable, then it would still be taxable now, unless it was rolled over in terms of maybe an inherited IRA in which the tax consequences would then be a little different. I want to be careful here to not go over things that may be a little bit confusing to you. I just want to kind of just say a few things that may help you wiggle through some of the information that you may have to encounter during preparing the information that you need to get in order to have your taxes prepared. We're going to talk about record keeping. That's one of the things that really bothers a lot of people when the spouse died. There's this monument of paper, files, papers, envelopes. What do you throw away and what do you keep? And oftentimes it's years before someone actually sits down and actually goes through all the pieces of paper. A general rule of thumb is that you hold on to your tax papers, about 7 years. What I like to suggest is that you never throw them away, the actual tax returns, because sometimes there are certain years you need to keep, so rather than knowing which years you keep and which years you don't keep, if you get one of those boxes that you can get from like an office supply store, Safeway, Office Depot, or just one of the boxes that paper come in, you can probably get a lifetime worth of returns in that one box. So you might want to consider that. But when you start thinking about all of those other papers that should you keep, I know my mom, when my father passed, my dad believed in keeping everything in the attic. There were just boxes of telephone bills and utility bills and credit card bills. And so what I suggest suggested that she do is take them all and build a bonfire and just throw them all on it and throw them away and burn them up. You have to be careful about actually just throwing them in trash. You know, some things may have account numbers, serial numbers on it, social security numbers. There is something called shredded. Some cities, you know, they have a place where you can come and just bring everything and shred it. If it's just a lot of stuff like that, you might want to contact a shredding company or find out when one is going to be in your community and just have that information shredded. Otherwise, just take your time and just buy yourself a shredder, and while you're watching a movie, you know, every now and then just take a pile and just start shredding. So you really don't need to hold on to a lot of paperwork. You need a safe where you would, you know, records in that safe. You want to have certain records keeping things, a copy of the death certificate. You always want to keep in your safe. It's going to be many times you're going to need either the original or several copies of it over the next 2 years. So you want to put that in your safe, as well as if you have passports or birth certificates, you want to sort of maintain that information. But for tax purposes, the general rule is that anytime you have spent any money that contains any relevance to what's on your tax return, you need to hold that receipt. So that would be the settlement papers from your house. And if you purchase the house, the closing papers, I usually just say make another copy of it and stick those in your tax folder. And so that way, you don't have to be rattling through paper bags, plastic bags, the bottom drawer of the closet or under your bed. It's all in a box. You also would want to probably hold on to, if you started a business, you want to hold on to any receipts that pertains to that business, especially the purchase of any equipment that was depreciated. You also probably want to hold on to rental property if you bought rental property, or you had a house and you converted it to rental property, any receipts that you did for major improvements. Not the repairs so much, so after a few years, the repairs, you know, you can get rid of those. But anything that would have changed the value of the house, for example, you went and installed windows on the house, you put a new roof on there, you did a major landscaping job that actually increased the value of your house. So those are some areas that you would want to make sure you hold receipts for, as well as if you purchased any stocks or any investments. The purchases of each one of those is needed so that when you sell it, you would have proof of what you actually paid for it. That way you wouldn't be paying more taxes on gain than what you really should be if there was any gain that resulted from the sale of that particular piece of stock or investment. If, as always, if you have any questions, we certainly always encourage you. There's a number one on your keypad on your phone. If you push the number one, that will let me know that you have a question or comment. I can bring you on the air. Otherwise, we want to remind you that Jesus always reminds us that we should obey the laws of the land, and one of those laws is that we need to be paying our taxes. However, I want to encourage you that you want to pay as little taxes as possible. You don't want to give them all of your money. You just want to give them a portion of it. So you want to have your tax return reviewed by a professional from as often as possible. Not only will he be able to give you some ways to help you get either a larger refund or less, but make recommendations to you in the future of things that you can do in the upcoming year. So as we approach the beginning of another tax season, some things I just want to make mention to you that may help you for the 2012 tax season is always keep in mind that if you're doing any home modifications with your loan, the amount of your interest will decrease. So that means now that you've been paying less in your mortgage payments every month, that means the amount of interest that you're paying is also decreased. So that means when you file your taxes, the amount of interest that you normally are able to deduct every year, it won't be as much. So that will directly impact the bottom line of your tax return. So in the past, now I've had clients and they've been used to a certain amount of refund, but they've had that home loan modified, and the amount of interest they're paying may have been cut off as much as 50%. And so when they get ready to have their taxes prepared and that bottom line has changed, they're often concerned. But you have to remember, anything that you do during the course of the year that affects your tax return, you should always consult the person who does your taxes and let them know that you're doing it so they can let you know how that will impact your tax return as well. Also, as sometimes some of our widows are growing older and they're about paying off their homes, and they're maybe just a few years away from paying it off and don't hardly have any interest, or they may no longer be even itemized on their tax return. So you want to be aware of those things. And if you have a child that's 16 years old or younger, you've been benefiting from $1,000 a year, especially if your income falls within that bracket that allows you to get there. You've been getting an extra $1,000 against your tax liability every year, which certainly is a wonderful thing. But once that child gets the next year older, you will lose that $1,000. So if you haven't had enough withholdings out of your brief out of your paycheck, those are some adjustments that you want to make as well. As we know, the tax codes are very long and cumbersome, and there's so many things to discuss, so we're going to sort of pick up on some things that we need to do and look into for this upcoming year or next week, because our time is running out, and we need to always give you a few announcements before we close out. I want to remind you on this coming Saturday, we will have our monthly Next Chapter meeting where we will be meeting in Decatur, Georgia. We have people that are nowhere near Decatur, Georgia. They're quite far away. But we want to let you know that you're always invited. You just happen to be in the area. But for those of you who live close to Decatur and is available, we invite you to come on out with us on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock from 9 and 10:30. We have our monthly ministry meeting. And next month, we want you to get ready because we'll be starting to prepare for our Valentine's Day event, which we do every year. And in the meantime, I hope you are working on your stories. We have just about everybody's story completed for our book that we're going to get published. So in the event that you haven't completed your story, we want you to continue to work on it. Have any questions, by all means, you can certainly give Mary a call or you can give me a call, and we'll be just glad to help you with that. The other thing, as we're about to close out now, is we want you to keep in mind that our widows ministry needs you and we need your support. So we're asking that if you know any other women who have lost their husband and this ministry can be a benefit to them, please share the information with them about our monthly meetings as well as our blog talk radio, internet radio show on every evening at 11 o'clock p.m., as well as if you would like to make donations to us, you can certainly do so. So at this particular time, we're closing our broadcast for another week. We encourage you to remember that God just so much loves you. He loves you so much so that before you were even created in your mother's womb, that he had just prepared a life for you and he had prepared to just be there for you every step of the way. So be encouraged. Hold on to the faith that he has given you. Know that everything is going to be okay. And at this next chapter, Mary and Sheila just loves you. And we ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you. We ask you to have a good night. God bless you.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
just need to testify to something next to him. Tell him, I'm strong, I'm wise, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell him, never could have made it.